The blind man, right? He saw it all. And I pray that God will give us sight, spiritual eyes, right, to see what we can't see that we're blind to in the physical sense. Amen. But it's good to be in God's house, and praise God that you're here. I know we got a lot traveling, so pray for them, for their traveling mercies back home as they get travel back in. But also a little bit more detail on the Bible Buddies. As Marty said, you should have got a sheet today that tells who your child is and gives you a little example what Bible. If you haven't got that, my wife has got those, and she'll be back out here after service, and we've got those sheets. So if you haven't got one, get one before you leave. And one thing it says is we'd love to get those Bibles in by Wednesday, so if you can be here. If not, send them in. What they will do is kind of gather them so we make sure that for next Sunday we've got Bibles for all the children. Amen. So hope you can be here. We're going to let you be involved in giving the Bible. Let me or Sandra know if you can't be here, and we'll take care of that too. But we're excited about that. Like I said, it does give you a suggestion about what type Bible they need, gives you the child. So if you haven't already got one of those, we'll get you one before you leave today. Amen? Amen. Oh, okay. I hope you brought your Bibles. If you didn't, there's one in the pew there before you. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It's enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said to him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights into Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him and said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle. And he went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? Dear God, we come this morning, Lord. Once again, Lord, as each day, just desperate to hear your still, small voice. Lord, the answers, Lord, that we need for those questions that we have. Lord, the questions that we need to hear that we didn't even know we have, just as Elijah, Lord, that we might hear you this morning, Lord, ask each of us, What doest thou here? What we do here at this present point in our life, Lord. Lord, as we maybe walk a guilty distance, maybe, Lord, some sin in our life, maybe, Lord, just desiring a closer walk, Lord, but really examine that question, Where are we, dear God? And Lord, just seeking, Lord, that we might hear your voice, that then others might hear it, our children might hear it, our grandchildren, our neighbors, our friends, and a lost and dying world, Lord, might hear the voice that we've heard from you. Lord, I pray that it be said of us as we leave this place, Lord, that folks, as they did in the Bible, as they did of the disciples, that they'd take note, Lord, that we've been with Jesus. And Lord, we've truly been with you, Lord, as we sang your praises, Lord, and as we've just been able to be here and worship, Lord. And Lord, we come, Lord, many needs, Lord. Our prayer list is long. There are so many needs, Lord. We just pray for Deborah and Byron this morning, Lord, that you might touch them physically, Lord, as their home. Lord, that you might be with Brother Greg, Lord, that you touch his foot, Lord, and touch his diabetes, Lord. That you be with Brother Dennis, Lord, that you strengthen his body, Lord, and touch his appetite, Lord, and strengthen him. Touch his cancer, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you'd be with Lisa's sister especially, Lord, that you'd be with Debbie, Lord, and heal her broken ribs and touch her body and just restore her, Lord. And there's so many, many more, Lord, and we lay each one on our prayer list and each one of our hearts, and those that are lost and hurting, that we just desire another opportunity to serve Jesus, Lord, we just pray. So, Lord, we just ask that your Spirit, Lord, might anoint, Lord, each one of us, anoint the hearer, anoint my mouth as I shall to share your word, Lord, and just meet with us here this morning. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We began last Sunday looking at this passage. And with that simple idea that God is trying to remind us, trying to show us that it's a still small voice that we are to hear, and how desperate we are to hear that voice. I made the statement last Sunday that, you know, as I often say, our greatest need is the same. No matter where you are in your walk with the Lord, our greatest need is always the same, is to have a closer walk with Him. And we kind of just looked briefly and kind of review last Sunday. We looked at what we have with Elijah. He had this great time with God, this great experience with God. And all of a sudden, we find here in this passage I read that simply by just the threatening words of really one person, he goes from those great times of not only hearing God, but seeing God work and feeling God's presence and feeling His power and even being a part of God's work, that all of a sudden he becomes desperate. And what happens is that Elijah loses his focus on the Lord. He becomes where he's not able to hear that still small voice. And you may be there this morning. There may be circumstances in your life, choices made or choices others made. And you might say, you know, I really desire to hear him, but I don't feel like I can hear him like I used to hear him. And you may say, I don't know that I'm really able to hear that still small voice, even understand that. But what Elijah shows us is that at many times, or I'd really say every time we go through a great time with the Lord, that we are desperate need to stay very focused on that still small voice, be able to hear from Him. And we want to begin to look some more practically how we do that. But when I thought about that statement, like Elijah, he had this great experience with God, and he was distracted and got astray and even wanted to end his life, I began to think those great times, there aren't just great things in our life. We mentioned a great revival last week, and not just those. But, you know, I've been reminded that the greatest thing that ever happened to any one of us is to be saved, to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And we really celebrate that great day every day of our lives. Amen? So what we have in that is that every day is a great day for that reason. So every day, Satan and the whole world is going to distract us from that still small voice. So we have each day the potential that we realize we've got to stay focused on His Word. We realize, as we read even again this morning, what happened to Elijah is very simple. Jezebel didn't like what they had been feuding already. We talked about it a little more Wednesday night. She didn't like what he was doing because he was simply doing things for God. And as long as you're doing things for God, there's going to be people who are not going to be happy with what you're doing. And it's amazing what happens, that progression. And simply, as Ahab comes and tells his queen Jezebel what has happened and how God has blessed Elijah and all that's happened, simply by telling her, remember, Ahab tells her, she tells the messenger tells Elijah, Elijah begins to tell himself things, amen? That's when we get in trouble. We start listening to ourselves. And then he goes from telling himself things to simply telling God, hey, it's enough. I've had enough. You ever thought of that, think that way before? Man, it's just enough. It's just too much. Oftentimes, Sandra and I will joke, and we've said it so often, you know, you'll hear so many things will happen, and just say, Sherry, it's too much. It's just too much. That's what Elijah was saying. I've just had enough. So all this telling and tolling is going on, but the problem is we don't find Elijah talking and communing with God like he had before. We ended last Sunday with a simple verse from Proverbs, that book of wisdom, saying that he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Elijah has turned his ear away from hearing God, and in every second, every moment of the day, we have the potential to make the choices like Elijah do, that we turn our ear away. Amen? We all have that happening. So I was excited, and we were going to dive right into verse 5 today. And I told several as we were getting here early this morning that I was amazed as I was reading over verse 4 again, how God had showed some things that we really need to pause and pick up on here before we move any further. So really focus, if you would, with me on verse 4. Let's just read it together again. Look what Elijah's doing after he gets the message, and the word is that, you know, they're out for his life. Want to put him to death. And it says in verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's. What we find here, look at those words in verse 4. There is so much, the word he and himself is predominant, amen? You can see that Elijah's focus has become on himself. And oftentimes that seems pretty practical, doesn't it, Corey? I mean, we're focused on ourselves. And if Corey's holding her baby back there, and if Corey's not healthy, and if she's not strong, and she's not strengthened, and she's not able to take care of that baby, that's going to be a problem. But this isn't a focusing on himself in that to be following God and listening to God and moving forward. But this is simply selfishness. He's become consumed with himself, and all of us have those days and moments. Amen. Now, some of you look at me very super spiritual today. Like, you know, I'm talking, we can all become very selfish. And what happens is when we're selfish like Elijah was being, what it does, it distracts us from hearing his still small voice. Amen. Always. When we're thinking about ourselves and what's going on and what we need and what's not happening, then it's definitely going to be used to distract us from that voice. And now here becomes the question, and I began to think that you might have this question, and it might be just a practical question to answer, is this, okay, why the still small voice? Tony, that's the Old Testament. Why is it still a still small voice? Is it still a still small voice? And if it is, why didn't God just speak louder? Why didn't he just notch it up? Okay, we understand that the world's got louder and our selfishness gets louder. So why didn't God just get louder instead of sticking with this still small voice? The answer is simply this, y'all. God is not competing with the world. God is not in any competition with the world. And the Bible is very clear in Hebrews 13 and 6 through 9. Listen to the Word of God. The Word of God says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you and have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversations. Even speaking of conversation, talking, all that Elijah was hearing. And in verse 8 of that passage there in Hebrews, the Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. His voice is the same. The reason that God's not going to get louder and compete with the world, and the reason nothing's going to change, is it's very foundational in all the Word of God that God does not change. Thank you, Bridget, that God does not change. And we can depend upon that. So he has got that still small voice. That is the way he communicates. That is who he was in the Old Testament. That's who he was in the New Testament. And that's who he is in our lives today. That's how he's going to do it. He's not going to compete with our circumstances. He's not going to compete with all the tools of the world. He's going to do it the same because that's who God is. And he is not in competition. So in verse 4, we see Elijah's selfishness. And he has those words at the beginning. But he himself. See, the question is always this. Are we going to focus on ourselves and how we're feeling and what our circumstances are? And as real as they may be, sometimes it's overwhelming for me during the week, especially coming to Wednesday night, and you begin to hear the details of people and what they're dealing with. And Dennis was even updating me back there. Dennis is battling with cancer. He's had radiation and chemo, and that has a lot of effects on the body. So just the specifics of those things. And pray, continue to pray with me for Dennis. Deborah mentioned this week and was reminding me this morning that, you know, simply, you know, speaking, she's got a sinus infection, a double ear infection, and she has an ulcer in her throat. Now, think of the imagery of that. I mean, that those physical things overpower everything. Amen? But more so than even the physical pain we deal with, just we can hear words that people say, just like Elijah did, and wow, how that impacts us. Amen? Man, you know, somebody posts something online about you. Somebody sends you a note or a letter. You get a text. You see somebody and they literally tell you. Or the one that you love most is somebody's been talking about you and somebody else, maybe the 34th person down the line, is telling you, just like, you know, Ahab told Jezebel, who told Elijah. They tell you what they've said. It's probably so messed up, there's not even resemblance what the original conversation was. Amen? But what happens when you hear those words? You know, the little saying, when I was growing up, you know, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can never harm you. That ain't right, y'all. That little saying didn't come out of the Bible. And that little saying is not true. Words can harm you, can't they? Man, words can drive you like Elijah to selfishness. Words can drive you to make choices and decisions that God wouldn't have you make. And that's what Elijah's doing. Words are very powerful. And why is that? Because we have the foundational Word of God. And every person, lost and saved, was created in the image of God. There is a power in our words that come because God has designed us that the words that come out of our mouth should be the words that we've gotten from Him. And they'll bring smiles, like I told the children. They'll bring encouragement. They'll bring hope. They'll bring correction. But those same words that should be powerfully His, because by the nature of the way God created us, our words have power, amen? Powers to really discourage and harm and just do all kind of damage. And that's what's happened to Elijah. He had heard what other people were saying. He was scared about what was going to happen. And God had given him great victory. Why in the world would Elijah worry about what one person said? Yes, maybe, yes, she is the king's wife, the king's queen. And yes, she has that power because she's under the king. But why, after he had just seen God defeat 400 prophets of Baal, literally fall with power and protect, why in the world would one person affect him so much? It's because what Elijah did is he got his eyes off God, he quit listening to God, and he began to focus solely on the words. And it didn't matter if it was a one person or a crowd, it didn't matter who the person was. And that's what happens to us, amen? If you don't understand anything else about this passage that we're diving into is this. Satan, just as God is the same yesterday, today, forever, Satan is the same in using the same attacks and the same things that he used on Elijah, he's using on us. So we have a choice each time when we hear words like Elijah did, we can either be selfish or we can go to the Savior. That's simply it. And really, that's the only two things we do. And you may think, well, I'm trying this, I'm doing this, I'm trying better, but it simply comes to this. Every time anything happens, we either be selfish about it or we'll go to the Savior. Look what it says in verse 4. It said he was focused on himself. He's thinking about that. He's inwardly focused. And then it says he went a day's journey. It says he went a day's journey into wilderness. Let's pause there for a moment. He went a day's journey. A day's journey. When I saw those words literally as I was studying, it's like they jumped up off the page of the Bible. Think with me for a moment this image. Went a day's journey. Now, I'm not thinking necessarily about the day's journey. And you can think about Elijah. How far can you walk in a day? Well, some of us farther than others. Amen. But he walked a day's journey. He's walking. But what came to my mind when I studied this passage, Dickie, is this. That think about a day's journey in this world. Think about some days you had last week. Think about some days that really jump out randomly in your life. I mean, a lot can happen in a day, right? Man, so much can happen. So many things can be said, decisions made, choices made, actions happen. I mean, for most all of us, now some of you work different shifts and things apply, but for most of us, I mean, the day begins and we're sound asleep. I mean, we're gone. We're out of it. We might wake up, some of us getting older, go to the bathroom. You might wake up not feeling well or wake up with children or whatever. But, you know, first part of it, hey, we're hoping we're asleep. Amen? Then we wake up and, you know, sometimes or maybe most days, it's like a race, isn't it? Life can be like a roller coaster. And either sometimes I wake up in the morning and I'm on a level, I'm just sitting in the, like on a roller coaster, I'm just sitting in that area and they loading up people up and the ride ain't even started. Thank God for them mornings. Amen? But sometimes I wake up in the morning just like you, and I mean, you just crested the top of a hill. You didn't realize you wake up, and I mean, you're flying down the hill. You ain't even got your clothes on. Nothing's happened. But mentally speaking, spiritually in the world, the roller coaster ride has already begun. Amen? Man, just rushing. Might wake up a little late. A child is sick, or a child is aggravated, or you've already known what was rough for the day. Sometimes our weeks are so crazy, and we were getting a car this morning, and Sandra's like, well, I don't think anything can happen between now and going to church at least. And as soon as she said that, I heard somebody driving up the driveway, and I said, don't say things like that, because we don't know what a day can bring, amen? But a day's journey. So what his problem is this. He's going a day's journey. He's beginning this day's journey, and he is not going toward God. He is not getting closer to God where he can hear that still small voice. He is going a day's journey. And I'm reminded, biblically speaking, y'all, and I'm going to give you a warning here in Scripture. Like you, in a day's time, it is incredible. Just like, it's incredible how far you can get from God. One day. Look with me, if you would, in Matthew 25. Keep your place here in 1 Kings. We're going to come right back. And we're going to go back and forth to Matthew a little bit this morning. But I want you to see, hold your place there in 1 Kings. But I want you to see this in Matthew's. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 6. I'm going a little slow with you this morning. Amen. Matthew 6, verse 25. Let's look at it together. Matthew 6, 25. I was going to only read one verse to you, but I had to go back as I studied. I want you to, Jesus is speaking here in Matthew 6, 25, down through the end of the chapter. Let's read it together. It says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on it. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they?" These are words, these same words Jesus are giving are things that God would want to speak to Elijah in his selfishness and his trouble and even his fear. God is wanting to let him know, Elijah, you don't need to be worrying about all these things. And that's the same thing he tells us today. In verse 27 it says, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to your stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. Yes, I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" I'll raise my hand. Scott, oh, me of little faith. Would you with me this morning? Oh, me of little faith so often. So look at verse 31. Jesus says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or where shall we clothe? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." Isn't that wonderful to know? He knows, hey, every need you've got right now. He knows it. Look in verse 33. It's a verse that matches our word over here by the piano in front of Kay and Phil. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Man, practically speaking, Elijah had done gone a day's journey. How many days are you out yourself? How many days would you be all honest this morning and say, you know, I've been several days. I've been several weeks journey, and I've not been listening to him. I've not been hearing him. And then look at verse 34. "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself." And look at this last sentence that Jesus says. "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Jesus is telling us that there is so much evil present in every day that as we're heading on to a day's journey, and I'm going to help you something. Some of you, your week was a whirlwind. You don't even know where the hours and some part of the days went. Amen? Man, it was just gone. But for somebody that's been weakened by sickness or somebody that's laying in the hospital, how slow was that day? How slow is your day when you're sick and in bed and you can't do anything? How slow is that day? How many thoughts come to mind? What you realize just the length of a day, how our circumstances and how Elijah's circumstances were so changing how he looked at the day. And Jesus reminds us right here today that there is no time to be selfish. Our focus has got to be on constantly listening to him and focusing on his voice that we find through his word in prayer, because every day is completely full of evil. I needed that warning. Amen, Sandy? God says the day. So a day's journey brings a lot. Don't take for granted for a day. Sometimes we're younger, we're wishing our life away. Oh, I wish the weekend would get here. I wish the end of the day would get here. But days are so precious. But he says something else. Not only did he say he went a day's journey, look where it says he went. It says he went into the wilderness. He went into the wilderness, and practically speaking, that's literally where he went. There's no different danger. There's no different evil. There's nothing to fear any different than walking in that wilderness or a wilderness here as to walking in a sinful place that you can go visit. Or there's no more evil. Listen, there's just as much evil present possible in this church as there is in any bar or any nightclub that some people might have visited last night, okay? You all right? So the wilderness in itself is not like this particular wilderness, this physical location that Elijah was walking into that had any more danger than the other. But the picture is that he is going a day's journey into this. The wilderness is simply a picture of this world. Actually, he's going to walk. He's walking a day's journey into this world. He's walking away from God. He's not listening to God's voice. He's not following God. And that's why he becomes in such a desperate state that he even wants to end his life. And it happens every day. Amen? It's heartbreaking. What this picture, whenever you see this verse and hear it again, I want you to think all this week that when you're walking a day's journey, are you like Elijah? Are you walking out into this world, heard from God, encouraged by God? I'm reminded that so often that I can have someone that they can get a hold of me and tell me everything wrong with me and with this church and with everything else and what's wrong with y'all and wrong with the world. And I mean, I believe if I ask them, Dennis, they probably have the cure for cancer and tell me that. And you say, man, whoa. And then all of a sudden you run into somebody that simply God has sent as a word of encouragement, just like this angel was sent to Elijah. Folks, we need to realize that in containing a day's time, we cannot focus on what the world is doing in those wilderness walks and wilderness moments. We got to focus that God is still there. He's still present. He's not changed. He's not going anywhere. And no matter how we feel or what people say, what's going on, we can trust God. Amen? He went into the wilderness. There's a pattern, go back with Matthew again. I mentioned we go back and forth. In Matthew chapter 4, we find someone else going in the wilderness. And boy, what a lesson we learn here. Look at Matthew chapter 4. We find Jesus going in the wilderness. In Matthew 4:1, it says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, don't miss this. Jesus is going into the same type wilderness location as you'd find Elijah going into, but there's a huge difference here. Did you see it in the verse? Did you hear it? It says that Jesus was led up of the Spirit of God into the wilderness. So what the Bible tells us, when Elijah was going out in the wilderness in the world, that is just a part of life. We are going out in this world. Amen. There's no, and you can stay at home. You can pull all the blinds and you can shut yourself off, shut the phone off, cut your cell phone off, and be in your house. And it can be, if not, it can be just as big, if not a bigger wilderness than being in the world, I promise you. Satan knows where he's at. He can come to your house. I've had it attack me in the house just as much as anywhere else. Y'all all right? Amen? But the picture here is that when Jesus was being led out in the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, by the way, let me tell you this. Let me remind you this. What the Bible says is you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, when you got saved, he moved in through the Holy Spirit. He's living inside of you. And every day you're being led, hopefully, by the Spirit of God out into the wilderness of this world to be tempted. That is what we're signed up for. Quit wondering why things are happening. That's what's happening. But the big difference here is Elijah, it went this day's journey out in the wilderness, and what he was doing is he was not being led of God. He wasn't being led by the Spirit of God. He wasn't listening to God. That was the two choices. We're going into the world. Are we going to be led by God through the wilderness time or be led by Satan? In verse 2 of Matthew chapter 4, the Bible says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We won't get there this morning, but isn't it interesting as the angel comes to minister to Elijah and as God has prepared and provided some bread for him to eat and has provided some water to drink, we find the very temptation that Satan is tempting Jesus and saying, listen, you have the power, you have the ability, you need to turn these rocks into bread. And that's one of the main temptations that Satan will do to every one of us, every moment of our life until we die. He says, you have the power in your mind and in your mouth and in these hands, you have the power to take, and Satan doesn't care what it is, to take it, and you turn it into what you need it to be at that time. Now, how many times have we done that? See what the imagery that is Satan. See, Satan doesn't even realize. Satan is under the control of God. He is putting boundaries by God. And the very temptation that Satan is using is that one that points not. It wasn't the physical. And all Satan could see was that physical bread and wanted to use that as a temptation. But for us, it's a much bigger picture. And out in the world, what we need to be focusing on is turning our words and all that we find in the wilderness into the Word of God as the answer back to everyone and everything, just like Jesus did. So he's thinking about himself. He's going that day's journey. Think about your days. He's going into that wilderness, a picture of the world that we all do. And then all of a sudden, we find in verse 4, it says that after he gets out into the wilderness, said he sat down under a juniper tree. Now you can look at that from the very practical standpoint, and you say, well, my goodness, if I'd walked today's journey out anywhere in the wilderness, I'm gonna sit down. And preferably I'll find me a shade tree, and I'm gonna sit down the shade tree, and I'm gonna rest my weary legs. And physically that's true about Elijah. Sometimes isn't it amazing how tired you can be and how exhausted after working a day? And if you just can get home, maybe, and just sit down for a brief moment. I mean, just it's amazing how you can think, I've got no energy in me. I can't do anything. I'm exhausted. I'm spent. But if you can just sit down for a moment, what can happen? You can get revived and get back going. But what's that usually in the sense of? That's usually in just the physical body. You've been going so hard, and you give it a brief break, and it's just something that can happen, whether you know God or not. The problem here is the spiritual implication of what's going on with Elijah is this, is that he's sitting down to die. He's literally sitting down with the idea that's it. I'm giving up. And Elijah is physically giving up, but I want to tell you, what did you notice happen? Elijah gave up spiritually. Elijah gave up on listening to God. Elijah gave up spiritually a long time before he ever gave up physically. See, that's the warning signs that God gives us. When you begin to give up in your mind the way you think, and that you're not listening to God, you're not in His Word, and you're not serving Him, you're not following, I promise you, God is a God that if you seek Him and you really do want to share Him and you want to serve Him, it's amazing what God can do and what He'll speak to you. But he had given up, and he sat down. He sat down spiritually, like I said, a long time before he sat down under the tree. I found something interesting. Look back in with me in 1 Kings there, and look back. You should have be holding your hand at 19. Look in verse 8, chapter 18 and verse 46. Look at this contrast. In 1 Kings, chapter 19, and verse 46, it says, "And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." Here's Ahab running. And what's that verse say? It says, Susie, the hand of God was upon him, and there he was running. You know, I believe that there's countless times and implications spiritually in the Word of God that, listen, we all at times sit down. We sit down on God, amen? We ought to be up and going and running and doing, but we do sit down spiritually. We want to give up. We get frustrated. We get tired. We get physically tired that comes with the spiritual tiredness and emotional. We want to sit down. But what we find is when the hand of God gets on us, that's when we can run. When the hand of God stays upon us, that's when we can walk one more step. And I don't know all the things that are trying to get you set down, but I assure you, if you're not feeling them right now, you may be feeling them more next week, or something may be coming, a word like Elijah got, or a feeling that you may get, or some temptation. And what's happening is Satan will continually say, just sit down. Just sit down. And you can be up and still going through the motions. You know, a term that we said often, and probably every one of our families has someone that's a functioning alcoholic. You remember the term? Amen? Probably every one of our families has one or more in our family that's what's happening. I mean, they get up and they go to work and they do a good job and everything's fine. And on the way home, they buy some beer, they buy some liquor, and they get drunk before bedtime and they wake up. And that's what it's called, Jim, right? A functioning alcoholic. Well, many times what we find ourselves is we are functioning Christians. We're just fun. We're going through the motions. But what we've done is, we've sat down inside. Our thinking's got all messed up. The words we're saying, our actions, our attitudes. Every once in a while, my wife has to tell me I'm acting like a jerk. Y'all all right? Y'all all right? And by the way, if your wife has never told you that, then you better sit down and talk to her and give her opportunity to, okay? Because we all have been. Men and women at times, amen? Now, some of you are not looking so spiritual anymore. But we sat down. He was running with the hand of God upon him. He was running. And the great thing about that is, Dennis, I know you don't feel like running this morning, have the strength to run. Well, that passage is saying is even in a weakened physical condition, even in a time of circumstances that are terrible, that God can get His hand upon you and you can run spiritually. You can have a peace and you can have a love and you can have a feeling that you might be laying. I've seen many people laying in the hospital that are probably even close to the point of death to Him, but they're much more alive than people sitting on the pews this morning. Y'all right? because spiritually the hand of God is upon them, and they're not sitting down. In 1 Peter 1:13, the New Testament paints the picture this way. It says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought to you into the revelation of Jesus Christ." It's talking about the remember, when the children were leaving Egypt on the Exodus, they had to gird up their flowing robes, and they had to get out in a hurry with God. The physical part of girding up means to get the flowing robe tightened up where you can go somewhere. And this passage I just read to you is mentally. We get loose thinking, amen? Amen? And what the Bible says, got to tighten up that thinking. Get the hand of God back on you. Quit sitting down spiritually and get out and just put one step forward. I'm so thankful. One of the greatest statements, I remember it's been years ago, I was having a very difficult time in ministry. And whenever you have a difficult time in ministry, there'll be difficulties coming at home. And there's all these things I've told you all often. Had a good friend at work, and we'd say this. Maybe you'll agree with this. He'd say, "You know, just as soon as I get things running smooth at home, it seems like things run off, the wheels run off at work, and things go crazy. Just as soon as work calms down, that seems to get better. Then all of a sudden, something happens at home, and we run into the ditch. I can't never get both running the same." And what Johnny Hunt said in that time I had gone, about once a year try to go down to Atlanta, take in a Braves game, go to church and worship Brother Johnny, get a Sunday away. And I was ready to sit down, and probably sitting down some spiritually. And I remember I went in there and he's sitting down, and some of y'all do, I pray, "Well, I sure hope he can do something for me today." Amen? Amen. "Well, I sure hope." And I sat down. And I'm mainly just thankful I ain't having to preach that day, y'all right? And here's what he gets up and he says. He walks up just like normal always. "You know, man, I'm ready. Brother John, preach, boy. Preach 10 times better than me. And I'm ready to get it." And he walks up and he said, "I'm going to be very honest with y'all." He said, "There was nothing in me, nothing within me to want to be here today." What he was saying is, I just sat down spiritually, no desire, no energy. Man, big old church, preach all over the world, president of Southern Baptist Convention. What? He said, just nothing within me to be able to be here today. Satan was attacking him just like attacks Elijah and attacks you and I. You sit down. And you know what Brother Johnny said? He said, this is the key. Instead of walking the days during, instead of calling in sick, there's multiple preachers that could have preached that day. Instead of walking a day or even a moment further from that thought, he said, "I got along with God. I got my Bible out. I did my devotion like I always do." He said, "I got on my knees and I told God this." Now, this will work for y'all. This ain't just for preachers. He said, "I told God this." He said, "God, I'm going to get up from here. I'm going to get up. I'm going to get in the shower. And I'm going to put on my clothes. And I'm going to put on my tie. And I'm going to go over to the church." And he said, he told God, "But God, that's all I've got." He said, "That's all I've got." He said, "Anything that happens beyond that today will have to be you. Because I'm going to do that." Y'all, that's simply what Elijah needed to do. That's simply whether you're in school, no matter how young you are, whether you're in school, whether you're in work. We all have those days. We'd be just like Brother Johnny and like Elijah needed, but we just say, "God, all right, I know you're not going to make me get in the shower. You're going to maybe get in the car and go. Amen? But I'm going to go. But God, that's all I got. That's all I got, God. And I'm not going to sit down on you, God. But God, I'm telling you, if you don't put your hand upon me, I've got nothing to put into tomorrow. Maybe it's Monday or Tuesday, holiday week. So God, I need you to fill me. I need you to put your hand upon me. Because I don't know what I might say. I don't know what I might do. I might get like Elijah and not want to go to work or go out, but I just might not want to go on." That's what God, Lord willing, will begin to see as we begin in verse 5 next Sunday. What we're going to begin to see is, practically speaking, That as Elijah sat down, this is the greatest part, y'all. Elijah hadn't done anything right. He hadn't done anything right. And in verse 5, God shows up and God makes his presence be known and God touches him. I want to ask you to bow with me right now. Every head bowed and every eye closed. And I pray, because many of you, you need that touch. You're right where Elijah was. Maybe like Brother Johnny said, you don't have nothing in you to do for your family today or do for work on Tuesday, or maybe you've got to work tomorrow on the holiday. But we got a time of this altar that just as that angel came and ministered to Elijah, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to minister to you. And isn't it wonderful? Just come be honest. Say, God, there's nothing in me. And would you do that surrender and you take you out of it and you ask him to come and do what he can do, then he'll allow you to rise up. And most often what God simply does is, don't we know this? It's just one step at the time. I see very seldom in my life or your life or in the Bible that he fixes everything and just makes it all okay. But he gives us his presence and his hand that we might be able to walk one more step in this old world, this old wilderness, and we might hear his voice simply saying, I love you. I know what you're feeling. I know what they said. I know you don't have any strength. I know you're hurting. I know you're angry. I know you're confused. But I'm here. And my still small voice and my promises are still here. Do you need to hear his voice this morning? Maybe you're just lost and you can't hear that voice because you're lost. Today you can be saved. Just come and say, preacher, I need Jesus. And we'll have someone sit down in the Bible and let his still small voice show you to be saved. Maybe you're just struggling. You need the altar. Maybe he's brought you here and you'll be part of the church family. Then come. Our doors are wide open. We not only want you and accept you, we need you to be part of helping us serve here. Wherever the need is, hear his still small voice into this invitation, which is much louder and precious than mine. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You'll grab your hymnals and turn to page 591, Have Thy Own Way, Lord.
Just one moment. I had to apologize.